One of the most damaging things a parent can do is become the consequence for unacceptable behavior. Withdraw love from the child without even realizing it and leave that child with the consequence of no relationship.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we've been covering the 30 imperatives to parenting, and we summed them all up in last week's Monday program. So if you want to hear a summary of all of them, you can listen to them for free online at parentingonpurpose.org. Yesterday, we talked about not getting derailed by childish outbursts. It's not fair. I hate you. And little things like that.
That gives a child so much power in a family and in the emotional atmosphere of a home. If we let an emotional outburst child take control, and all of a sudden we're having a bad night.
Right. I think we're just so invested, though, emotionally in the whole process that we want our children to always come to us. I love you. You're the best mommy ever. And then, Dad, you're awesome.
Wow.
And
what movie are you watching?
It's all in the movies, though, and it's on TV, too. No.
Well, you're going to get to hear that one day. I get to hear it. But I think one of the challenges is I want to be the child's friend. And I realize I'm not here to be the child's friend. There are moments, incredible moments of friendship that get greater and greater in high school. Especially junior and senior year, they were both friends of mine. And now it's awesome. I mean, you know, they're adults and we're really, really friends. In fact, I would say my son's my best friend. I mean, it's just an amazing season of life right now. However, I'm the adult, they're the child. And I can't give the child the power of us cruising along. I confront the child has an outburst of I hate you or whatever. And all of a sudden I'm responding like that. I need to deal with that behavior without responding in kind in return.
It's hard because you're all their emotion and you have bad days and parenting isn't the only thing going on in your life, you know, but it is easy. Then you've got that difficult, especially the barbarian child who just goes berserk on you and all you just want silence. And so, know what? Just go to bed. Let me live my night in peace. But we withdraw.
Couldn't you just skip through the house whistling? I mean, what is this? In the Partridge
Awkward.
Family, they did that. What's happening
right.
here? Everybody why aren't we all hugging? Hug fest. Let's have a hug fest. I mean, that's just not the real world. And our children have these things they want and they believe they should have. And it's our job to raise them to be an adult rather than perpetuate adolescence. I think perhaps in today's number seven, I think perhaps the most damaging thing we do as parents is use our love as a consequence and don't realize it.
Explain that, though.
Well, when we deal with unacceptable, let me give you the best example I know. The police officer. The police officer, when you have violated the city's parenting plan, and you've exceeded the speed limit, the police officer does not come up to the car, have you roll down the window, reach through, grab you by the shirt, rip you out of the car, call you a stupid idiot. How many times have I told you to do this? He doesn't do it. He's awesome. In fact, he's incredible. In fact, what he does is he gives you the consequence without giving you a lecture. He may give you a statement on what you did, but he doesn't give you a lecture. And then after he's given you the consequence, he backs away from the car, looks you in the eye and says, "Have a nice day." It's incredible.
What?
Yes. He's not going to make the relationship part of the consequence. But here's what happens. And we don't realize it. We are everything to our children. And I think some people wonder, why are they so vested in the cyber world now? Because the cyber world doesn't yell and scream as much. It does different things.
It does all caps.
Yes.
But...
yes. That all caps doesn't really blast my ears out. Yes.
Right.
I think what happens is we are overly busy and our children don't do the things we want them to do. And it's for really much of the time, it's just irrelevant things of forgetting something when you're in the car and having to go back in the house. Now I got to go all the way back in and unlock the door, whatever it is. And we find ourselves yelling and screaming for unacceptable behavior. We find ourselves berating the child for unacceptable behavior. How could you be so stupid? And we find ourselves withdrawing our love. We find ourselves really abandoning our children and abandoning them emotionally where, you know, they do feel like it's me. I'm on my own. So I should accept any friend I can have as a friend. Be very careful to think through your parenting that you don't, you know, give a consequence that's a tangible consequence, but it can't include you. Withdrawal of you or the perceived withdrawal of your love when you're yelling and screaming and you can't even believe some of the things you said to your child. I know we're saying this a lot, but if I can't stay calm, then I got to find the reason why I can't stay calm, because kids weren't meant to keep us calm. Kids were meant to push our buttons. So I'm going home with unrealistic expectations. I need to go home to know that I know that I know I'm having a problem. It's like a friend of ours who is an emergency room nurse and talking about, I know everything that comes in the door while I'm on my shift is trauma. And I know there's going to be a lot of emotion, a lot of trauma, and family members can't believe we're not doing this right away or whatever it is. And I know that, so my mind is there, and I don't respond in like to them. And I don't, when they're making statements about this hospital, or whatever, I don't get into that. How can I help you? Let's look at this. How can I help you? And she said, I'm able to stay in control of the situation, in control of me and calm. But then I pull in the driveway, and something's happened, or they didn't put this away, or I can't believe they spilled that, and no one cleaned that off the counter, or whatever it is. And I call them in, and all of a sudden, I've lost it. We need to go into our homes knowing these are children. And when they don't follow the plan, and they're not going to follow the plan, that's why we're there. If they did follow the plan without, and they don't need us, we could just slide the food under the door and everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they need us there. They're not going to be happy with our structure. And we have to be very careful that we're not using withdrawal of our love or the perceived withdrawal of our love by yelling, by screaming, by putting them in the bedroom and bed early at night and not going in that room. I am not coming in there to kiss you goodnight or whatever it is, because they are desperate for that. Mm-hmm. We have to be very careful. The challenge today is relationships are so few and far between anyway, healthy relationships. And very typically, there are no grandparents typically today. Mm-hmm. And there aren't any aunts and uncles typically today. Where in the past, they were all on the same block or on the same farm property. Right. Right. And so when I'm not getting along with you, mommy, I could go next door to grandma and we're okay. And grandma's making cookies and explaining to me a little bit about why you were angry at me, mommy. Mm-hmm. And I've got lots of people investing in me, but we don't have that anymore. And so as a parent, I think the key to this is anticipation. With this one child, I need to anticipate a struggle. With this one child, okay, I'm going to pull in the driveway. I'm going to walk in the house. And yes, we have a repeated pattern here of people doing this or doing that. And I am not going to let that behavior give the remote control to my screaming and yelling. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use screaming and yelling to get anybody's attention. I'm not going to use screaming and yelling to get anybody moving. If they don't move when I need for them to move, there will be a consequence, period. You heard me. This is your warning. If I ask you one more time to do this, you are blank. Going to bed early, writing, mopping, sweeping, whatever it is. And I'm never a big one on taking things away. I will take that away. They don't think they care.
It works, though.
Yeah, good. Sometimes when it's working, go for it. If your system is working.
I did the whole mopping thing, and it didn't work as much as you're not going to play Xbox anymore. Boy, yeah. That jumped out of the seat.
If it's absolutely working, what the key is, I want them to respond to what I tell them to do, and I want them to respond to authority. Mm-hmm. I was always a big one on adding work. And the beauty of adding work is you can spend 15 minutes sweeping out the garage, or you can spend 2 hours sweeping out the garage. Your time. It's on you. And I wanted to teach them the concept that when you did things that are unacceptable, it usually cost you somehow. Mm-hmm. And you usually had, you didn't do this like you needed to, and now all of a sudden, look, it's costing you an extra 2 hours to accomplish whatever. But in this whole process, I want to make the consequence, not me. Mm-hmm. And even when they're doing the consequence, I may be over there helping them a little bit. I want you to know I love you. And here it is. You don't have to be perfect. You won't be perfect. I love you. I will always love you. This behavior will not cause you to lose my love. And when I have yelled, I need to apologize. And when I ask you, Tori, to forgive me for raising my voice, that was unacceptable. And I need to let them know we're dealing with behavior here. We're not dealing with relationship. We're dealing with behavior. I don't expect you to be perfect. When your behavior is such, there'll be a consequence. It will never be the withdrawal of me. So I would encourage parents to look at the way they confront unacceptable behavior and deal with unacceptable behavior. Does it make a statement, I love you less when you behave like this? Mm-hmm. Be very careful.
Especially when even the moments where there's a little bit of shame going on. Mm. So when you get upset, then you yell at the child and you're in front of either a group of people or even just someone else. There's a little bit of shame going on. Talk to us about that. Because I mean, some cultures, are very shame-driven.
Shame because of my children's behavior in public or what?
No, that you shame the child. It's embarrassing.
How could you do this to us?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a horrible form of trying to induce guilt and shame.
Guilt-driven, that's better said.
As a consequence in a child's life where now I don't even really belong to this family. I'm not worthy of this family. I'm a burden to this family. I guess we all need to acknowledge sitting on the bed at night and saying, I want you to know, this will surprise you, Tori, but I was not perfect as a child.
No way, Dad.
No. She burst in laughter at that point. And if I'm using shame or guilt, I'm really setting my child up to be manipulated. Mm-hmm. And I'm really setting my child up to do the right behavior for the wrong reasons. I want to do the right behavior for approval. and applause rather than do the right behavior because it's the right behavior. Mm-hmm. I will always love you. No matter what, you will never do anything to lose my love. I will always love you. And I don't want to use the shame. I remember when John Hinckley shot President Reagan. That was an amazing time. The Hinckley family had been huge donors to Ronald Reagan's campaign and were kind of known for being the party line people. And then their emotionally challenged child, who had already previously been in an institution and out, shoots the president of the United States. And there's a lot of theories on why he did that that were interesting. But then it came time for the trial. And as embarrassed as the Hinckleys were, they were sitting behind their son.
Mm.
And I thought, this is really, really, really cool. I'm in this with you. I remember when I was in college and I came to Christ at a critical time in my life. At the end of my sophomore year of college, a letter came in the mail 2 weeks after I was home to let me know that the entire quad of eight guys I was in was let go. You guys don't need to come back. And I wasn't living at home that time, but I'd come get my mail and I came to the house, and this would be the ultimate humiliation with me, with my dad. And I came to the house, I got the letter, I saw that it was CC'd to him, and I started back out of the house. I didn't live there anymore anyway. Started back out the front door. My dad's study was upstairs above the front door, and he calls me in the house. And I'm considering for a minute not going back in. And I go in and sit down in his study, and he said, I got the same letter. And I said, yeah, it's very disappointing. And I'm getting ready to say, and I'm sure I'm very disappointing.
Mm.
And he said to me, what are we going to do about this? And I will never forget the word we. As long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know what we could do about this. And he says, well, I can buy you a plane ticket and get you down there to the dean's office before the weekend and see if you can get back in. And I got back in. But I think the encouraging thing was not to go down there. I really didn't want to go down there. I was humiliated, but he wasn't. He wasn't. He saw this as a learning tool, and he would not let me give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell for that moment. Why, he believes in me. He thinks I can do this. When we're dealing with unacceptable behavior, and he could have said, I'm so ashamed of you. After all we've done and all we've paid and all this, and this is what happens at college, he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He made me face the consequence of going down and begging my way back in and making some pledges of what I will do from that point
on
in a different lifestyle. And that's one of the things that led me to Christ, actually. But it's the way he handled it and the way we acknowledge that we're not perfect with our kids, but there is a consequence. And the way we set them up, if you do this, this will be the consequence. So if you choose to do this, this will be the consequence, but not adding to it the guilt and the shame and the yelling and how could you do this to us?
Don't you know how much I pay around
Yeah. You do that and all of a sudden I'm this very isolated little person that doesn't belong in this house. And if it's a daughter, she'll get married quickly. She'll get out of that house as fast as she can to get out of that house.
Mm.
And so we've got to be very careful to let our children know, no matter what you do, I will always love you. There will be a consequence when you choose to do what you do, but I will not be part of this consequence. I will not be yelling, screaming, shaming, whatever to you. I will not do it. I think it's a think through. Okay, why do I yell? Well, maybe I yell because I do have too much on my plate. Maybe I yell because I'm exhausted. Maybe I yell because I think my children appreciate this incredibly ridiculous schedule and they don't. Why do I yell because of all the things we think we can accomplish? Why do I yell because I've allowed my children to become the outward manifestation of my self-esteem and their performance is what makes me feel good or bad.
Mm.
And their grades, it's not really their report card, it's mom's report card. And we've missed here. And when they don't perform with excellence, then wow, I mean, we've missed and we lose it. We've got to decide that I do not want my child to feel I love you less for poorer performance. The better performance, the more I love you.
Mm-hmm.
We've raised far too many, probably 2 to 3 generations like that. We can't do that. And that's the message of Jesus. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lord, could we break that sentence out a little bit? What if I just don't reach and do it? I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you with an everlasting love.
Mm-hmm.
Son, there are consequences for your behavior, but I will never leave you or forsake you, and I will always be with you to the ends of the earth. Well, even in my, yes, even with Joseph in prison in Egypt, I was with Joseph. I want to put a plan in place where I'm not the consequence. The withdrawal of my love is not the consequence. When my children had to go to bed early at night for some kind of unacceptable behavior, I still sat on the side of the bed and gave them.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie Jay, and we've been covering the 30 imperatives to parenting. Today, talking about how not to be the consequence to your child. In fact, we've done an entire week's broadcast on consequences specifically and how to do them well. And you can search for those broadcasts and even the blogs that go with the programs online at parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and the children's homes, go online to shfm.org. You can support the ministry there. You can also support by sending a 2-letter text, SH, it's short for Sheridan House, and send it to 41518. And that sends a one-time $10 donation that will help the children's homes as well. Again, if you want to find out more about those resources that also help the children's homes, they're at shfm.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue down this list of the 30 imperatives of parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.